and thank you for downloading the sessions from She Is Conference 2018. She is the women's movement of Hope City Church, and these messages were recorded live in Sheffield. We would love to hear how these messages have blessed and encouraged your life, so let us know on our Facebook page at She Is Hope City, or head over to our website to find out more.
Because when I woke up this morning, the Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, Jen, I am going to be in this space. So I could preach on the alphabet tonight, and God is going to be here. And I don't worry about that. That's just embarrassing. Okay. thanks, Jeff. Actually, Jess, come here for one moment. When you see the City Hearts brochure tomorrow, you have to look at this Jess, because she is a miracle of grace. And her beautiful picture's in there. You're an absolute champion, Jess. I love you to pieces. Now get off. Right. Let's just pray, hey? Spirit of the living God, come and fill this space. Walk down between these seats. Walk into the heart and mind of every woman and do miracles that only you can do. Change us like only you can change us. Spirit of God, come. Be powerfully in this place in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your seats. Actually, band, I don't think I'm going to need you right now, so you can get off as well. Didn't they do well? I feel like I have something to dispense tonight, and I'm believing that God's going to come by his power this evening, and just engage our hearts right at the outset of this conference. Look, we have absolutely no room. I don't know how anyone's going to get in here tomorrow. So I'm going to start just by reading to you what I wrote, breathed by the Spirit of God, into the brochure when I wrote it, and it was this. It says, there is a quest, a search, a desire in each of us for something more. It is the pursuit of meaning, it's the pursuit of a life purpose, and it's the pursuit of a strength. It's a longing. It's a cause. It's a relentless ache and a beautiful art. And in our pursuit, we find wisdom and a plan, and we capture God's heart and we align ourselves with his plan. But it seems in saying this that all the onus is on us. But there is always more than one in the game of pursuit. When you're playing tag as a child, you always get caught. It's inevitable. You always get caught. This weekend, you will get caught by the relentless embrace of the one whom you pursue, who all this time has been pursuing you, who is running harder after you than you run after him. Because sometimes we say we seek him and we find him when we search for him with all our heart, and it places us in a place that we think that it's a striving thing that's going to bring us to know God. But tonight, right at the outset of this conference, he wants you to know that he is pursuing you harder than you are pursuing him. He is chasing you down and you will be caught. Every single one of you will find yourself caught this weekend in the pursuit and in the arms of a loving father. And he will wrap his arms around your life in the most profound way, and you will be caught in him. You'll be held in him. Some of you have come to conference and say, well, that's nice, Jen, that you say that God unveils wisdom and a plan. And I've come here, and because this room is full of women, I know that many of you have come here battered by life, exhausted, frustrated. You've been sacrificial in your honoring and your pursuit of God. And you've come into this place tonight, and Father God, I need you to touch me. I need you to do miracles in me. And he is pursuing you so hard, you've got no idea. Do you know, I've been fascinated over the last couple of weeks to hear some of the incredible stories of she is over the years. And one of the most profound one that I heard was this. 12 years ago, I prayed over a lady that couldn't have children. She went on to have a daughter. And her daughter this year is in She Is Daughters. And that just touched my heart no end. You know, the miracles. There was another lady, I can't remember the complete accurate story right now because I'm 52 and you need to excuse me. But there was this amazing story I heard this week about another lady that had a miscarriage and God gave back to her and she's had twins. And just beautiful stories of miracles that have happened in this place. But as I said, you will be caught. And God is not a Houdini and the master of illusion. He's not the God of the false promise. When we seek him, we will find him. But he is not static, waiting to be found. He is active in his pursuit of us. And I specifically asked for that song, The Reckless Love of God, because the verse says this. It says, "Over the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, it chases me down. It fights till I'm found." And then it says, it leaves the 99. Do you know, I don't believe in hooky, spooky, magooky stuff, but, you know, I thought it was amazing that the Billy Graham died at 99. Anyway, just saying. And then it says, "I couldn't earn it and I don't deserve it. Still, you give your love away. You will be caught. You will be caught. You will be pursued and caught." Now, when I was a little girl, which gets longer and longer ago, but when I was a little girl, I remember deciding one weekend that I was going to run away because I was dissatisfied with my mother's performance. And to be fair, most of us mothers are dissatisfied with our own performance. So, and I remember I packed my little bag and I didn't have a backpack. I think it was back in when, is it Adidas or Adidas? Depends where you're from. It was when it was in its first thing before it became untrendy, before it came back. That's how old I am. I've done the whole cycle. And I remember I packed my little, I was probably about 8 years old, and I packed my little Adidas bag and I put my things in and Mum waved me off at the door. She was so smart. And I don't think she followed me, but I bet she did. Like, she wasn't just going to let me walk out the door, was she? So I went up the road about 300 metres and sat on the corner. What you don't know about me is I was a very, very determined child and needed quite a lot of channeling. And I went and sat on the corner for about 15 minutes and then I decided I was going to come home. That was the extent of my running away from my mum. And now the tenuous link that I'm going to put in here now is we think of Moses. Moses was a guy who stuffed up big time and he ran away. He ran into the back of the desert. He blew his destiny. For some of us tonight, we've run away, but nobody knows. Because sometimes we run away on the inside. No one can see it. But God even pursues you when you run away on the inside. And so this story of Moses, that he ended up in Exodus chapter 2. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched him at his hard labor. He had a good heart. He had a good heart. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people, and looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And the next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting, and he asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" And then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and he went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now, Midian means strife and war. And some of us sit tonight in Midian in our heart. That in our heart, we've run away to a place because of strife and war, and we sit down in our heart. Even in the midst tonight of all these incredible women in this conference, we sit down and we have fled to that place of strife and war, the Midian of our hearts. His pursuit of God, he had been trying to do what God wanted him to do. He had compassion for his people. He'd worked hard and he stuffed up and he ended up not where he should have been physically or where he should have been in his heart. And he ended up in the back end of the desert in a place called Midian. His destiny was cactus. I like that because I thought he would have been sitting by a cactus. And his destiny was cactus. There he was. It was all cacti is probably the word, isn't it? Multiple cactus. And then there's another verse and it says in Exodus 2:22, "I have become a foreigner in a foreign land." Some of us can feel like we are foreigners in a foreign land, even sitting in the midst of what we perceive as our destiny. And he was having such a bad day, he named his son Gershom, which means you are a foreigner. Lucky kid. Just imagine him in school. He's from Egypt. He's not any from Egypt, he's a Jew from Egypt. Was there Jews then? I don't know. That's probably not historically or theologically correct. And somebody, listen, I'm a prophet. I'm not a teacher, okay? He named his son Gershom. So Gershom went to school and foreigner. He was in Midian, the place of strife and war, with a son called foreigner. He was not well in his soul. And Exodus 3 verse 1 says this about Moses. Moses was tending the flock of Jericho. Look, this gets worse. His father-in-law was the priest of Midian. So he was tending the filthy, smelly sheep of his father-in-law, who's from Midian. So his father-in-law was the high priest of strife and war. So he had a son called foreigner. He was in the back end of the desert in a place called Midian, tending the sheep of the high priest of strife and war, his father-in-law. I mean, you know, it wasn't a great day at the office. He thought he was supposed to be the deliverer and he ended up in the back end of the desert. Talking to anybody here tonight? I remember when I was in Bible college. Now, let me paint the picture for you. So for those of you that know me know that I went to an private all-girls school. I used to wear a hat and gloves in 36 degrees. And I was like the prefect, the house captain, the hockey captain, the athletics captain. I was your success story all wrapped up in one exciting package. Straight A's. I was the girl you hated. Take it out on me. Go on. And so then I left school and God called me to Bible college. And then I was working in a fish and chip shop to get me through Bible college. And I worked in a bakery. And if you want to see the scars later, I slid these two fingers open on the bread slicer. So if you come and have a look, I have Bible college scars. You guys in college tonight, you haven't gone this far to cutting your fingers open for the sake of the gospel. Anyway. So I was in a fish and chip shop one night, straight A student, I was in the top 2% in Australia when I finished school. I know you thought I was intelligent, but now you know. She really is. I could have done anything. And I was sitting, no, I wasn't sitting, I was scooping out chips. And the principal of Brisbane Girls Grammar School walks in to the fish and chip shop and said these words, "What are you doing here?" Because as far as she was concerned, I should have been studying medicine or politics or law, because that's what you're supposed to do, isn't it? And I was working in a fish and chip shop at the back of Midian. And I used to smell like chip fat. So if you think you're in Bible college tonight and you think it's tough, we've done it too. And I felt when she came into that store that night so defeated. I had retreated from the success story of Brisbane Girls Grammar School. I got the prize for economics, the prize for ancient history. I know there's a lot you don't know about me. The prize for geography. Yes, I did. I know what a terminal moraine is. And those 101 eucalypt trees that I memorized, the properties of every eucalypt tree, yes, I did, has done me no good at all in my adult life ever. But it expanded my brain for a season. And so many of us feel like we have retreated. But I want to say to you tonight that retreat is not defeat. Retreat is a platform. I was in that fish and chip shop so I could get free chips so I could eat through Bible college. And then I graduated to a bread store to put the chips in the bread for a chip sandwich. My retreat was a platform to my future. And so many of you tonight find yourself at the back end of Midian with a son called Foreigner. But your retreat tonight is actually your platform to a greater future. Moses had been running away, but he'd been actually been running toward his destiny. He had not been alone in the desert, running away from his pursuers, but he had been pursued all those years through the desert by the mighty God. And God's pursuit and shaping of his life had been relentless. It had at times been misunderstood and battled against. And there had been days, I'm sure, when Moses, when the depth of the agony of the pursuit had damaged his soul. But he finally came to a moment. And this is your moment. In the presence of God at Shears, she finally came to a moment. That moment when your destiny and your purpose collide. And it was the moment of the burning bush. And let it read me to you. Exodus 3 says, "Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why does this bush not burn up? Let's go over and examine this phenomena." But you know what I find even more engaging about this story is that he didn't just go and look at the bush, he talked back. It was a moment of idiocy. Let's go and talk to the born. Let us go and talk to the burning bush that is talking to us. There was a moment that made no sense. But it was the moment when the pursuit and the pursuer converged. And some of you have come here tonight with a moment that makes no sense. But by the Spirit of God in this conference, it will be the convergence of your past and your future. It will be the convergence of the pursuer and the pursuit found together in a moment in the presence of God. And God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Ladies, this is not just an auditorium. This is my space. This is God's space. This is holy ground. This is the crucial moment when the nonsensical became divine. To a moment that made no sense but housed in it the key to destiny. This moment at Chiez houses the ultimate moment in God's pursuit of you. The aligning of your past and of your future. The crucial moment of encounter. When your preparation meets your pursuer and your life is redesigned and repurposed, that is what's going to happen over this weekend. And then Exodus 3:16 says, I have watched over you and I have seen, and I have promised to bring you up out. Promise to bring you up out of your misery. In Egypt, into the land of the Canaanites. This is your up out. This is, as I said, the convergence of the pursuer and the pursued. You seem like you have been running away, but you have been running towards. And the pursuit changes into destiny at the burning bush. The point you think is your stop, the moment that makes no sense, is actually your start. That position that you're in life right now that makes no sense is the start to the whole new thing, to the whole new place. But then what fascinated me then is what God actually did in that moment at the burning bush. Moses had been tending the sheep of the high priest of strife and war, the back end of the desert. And any shepherd would have carried in his hand a staff. It's his tool of trade to harness the sheep. And he was skilled to put that shepherd's hook around the neck and bring him out. Another one of the high priest of strife and war, come here. He would have been skilled with what was in his hand, his staff. But at this encounter with the burning bush, God gave him a whole new meaning to what was already in his hand. We read the scripture and we see that God told him to pick up his staff. That staff was the thing that he had done and worked with for all these years, pursued through the wilderness as a shepherd. He had a staff in his hand. And previously, the staff that in his hand, all it meant to him was strife and war and disappointment. But in a moment, God took the very thing that he's had in his hand and turned it into his future. That's what happened at the burning bush. Take this staff in your hand so that you can perform the signs with it. So he took the staff of God, the thing that he had probably dismissed or discarded as irrelevant. The thing that was in his life that he had thought it is irrelevant, it's no good, I'll dismiss it. And God told him to pick the staff up. And God said to Moses, I'm going to take your vocation, the thing you did while you thought you were forgotten, and I'm going to do miracles through it. So in that moment at the burning bush, God changed the man. And the thing that he had used as a vocation became the thing of authority. And what God wants to do in our lives over this weekend, he doesn't want to change us and turn us into something we're not. I hate cooking. When a cooking show comes on a TV, I go into an immediate coma. And you're not going to like this. When a nature show comes on TV, I go into a coma. Preach, I like that. But when sport comes on, it's who I am. I like it. I like a bit of sport, though I did. Now listen, I've got to mock because Shola's here tonight. He's part of our church. And I was told by a source, Rachel Taylor, I'm going to so shame you now, Shola. Shola and Jenny are part of our church in Newcastle. And I was told this match was going to be on TV and I needed to watch. Listen, Shola, I waited for you to come on. And the twist in the story is that my neighbour plays in the same team as Shola. So I thought I'll watch the neighbour, you know, be involved in his life. Do you know how much they lost by? 8-1. And I watched for all that time and you never even took the hoodie off and came off the bench. A waste of 90 minutes of my life. But other than that, I like sport, I like history. I like watching, I'm fascinated by the Second World War. Anything about the Second World War, I'm there. Cooking? No, coma. You wonder how Davis survived. He's a good cook. And my son is 6'3", so I did something. Threw a vegetable out now and again, see if it caught. But I said that to say, God doesn't want to turn you into something different. He wants to come and land upon that which is in your hand, and you understand that's the very thing that he wants to anoint. And we've thought that we were at the back of the desert working for the priestess of strife and war, your boss. With someone sitting next to us called foreigner. And you thought, what am I doing here? Why have I ended up at this place in my life? What am I doing here? And at this moment, in this conference, God brings you to a burning bush encounter in the presence of God and he says, daughter, I want to come upon the very thing that's already in your life and I want to give you such authority. I want you to pick up the staff that is in your hand at this burning bush moment and understand that all the while I have been pursuing you, you have not been lost in this thing called life. You are found tonight at this moment at the burning bush where God says, pick up the staff. Pick up the staff. Mothers, pick up the staff. There are people and mums and families and stories in that school and at that school gate that need you to pick up the staff. To not turning up like you've just been dragged out of bed and then you drag yourself back home. Be there. Be in the moment. Pick up the staff. Understand there is a world waiting for your life. There is a world waiting for your story. Ladies, come on. The encounter at the burning bush was a moment that vocation became an anointing. And God changed Moses' relationship with life. I wonder if I could have the band back. Changed his relationship with life. He changed his paradigm as to how he looked at what was in his hand. Suddenly his staff looked different. His life was now a representative of power and authority from God. Hello? Don't look at them. They're all really ugly and got too much hair. What's the thing with this man pony thing? I'm not there. I'm sorry. And they're wearing man bracelets and stuff. Like, yeah, Colin's got them. Like, keeps raiding his wife's jewellery box. Listen, if these guys must come in to the conference that says on the tin, women's conference, fair game. This burning bush moment was a change of season, a change of staff. The new staff had anointing and authority. And this is what the pursuit this weekend is all about. You have been pursued to this place. To some, it is the back of the desert. I'm telling you what, when I arrived from Australia in 1991, there was more than back of the desert. This is the back of the behind of the desert. But God pursued me here. All the while, God has been pursuing and watching over you. You stand here tonight at the convergence of your past and your future. Your burning bush moment. God takes the seemingly irrelevant thing that you have in your hand. He places his anointing and his authority and his power upon it. The very thing that annoyed you. The very thing that frustrates you. That fills your everyday will become the thing in which you are anointed. He challenges tonight the relevance of the staff that's in your hand and he turns it into a weapon of war. Going to turn it into a weapon of war. Some of you have come to this place tonight, the back of the desert. Some of the staff of Hope City Church are thinking, well, I work for the high priest of strife and war. Dave's turn. Simon, I'll just respect because I might lose my credential. I get really too naughty and I need to hone it back in. This is your burning bush moment. This is your encounter moment. Julia, when you were asked to stand for me, and Julia, when you were singing before, what is it you do something cray-cray, don't you? What do you do? You're like some nuclear biologist or something? Yeah, like... PhD in something cray-cray that we will never understand. And I felt very specifically to say to you tonight that this weekend is your encounter. That God's turning your vocation into your weapon of war. It's biology something, isn't it? Was it? Molecular biology. Smart. See, turning your vocation into... In actual fact, can I have the singers? That'd be great. So we're going to start this weekend tonight by having a moment. Because God is going to turn the very thing that frustrated you and irritated you and annoyed you. God, for some of you, is going to bring you back from a place in your heart that you thought you could never come back from. And you're going to have an encounter moment in the presence of God in a moment. God's going to change some stuff. You're going to realize something about your life you've never realized before, that every single thing that you've gone through to this point has been a stitch up by the Holy Spirit because he has been making you into a warrior. That's what he's been doing. He's been making you into a warrior. I wonder if you'd stand with me.
Amy Bond.
God's been making you. You've been some places in your heart, but God has been making you. You will not just be known for compassion. You will be known for strength. Right through you, strength. You will be known for strength. And you will stand alongside people in the future that think there is no way forward. And just by standing there, you will give them hope. You'll be, I can see, you're so tiny. Like, she's like about 4'2". She's got really high heels on tonight. But you're going to be a woman that is so tall in the spirit. There is an incredible call upon you. And it is what you imagine. I'm talking to you right now under the lines here. It is what you imagine.